Welcome to Central Coast Conversations, the podcast that will feature in-depth and engaging discussions with influencers and community leaders, as well as national and local hot topics that are being talked about by everyone, everywhere. Greetings, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Yvonne Thomas, and it is indeed a pleasure to have the new superintendent president of Monterey Peninsula College, Dr. Marshall Fulbright III, as my special guest today. Dr. Fulbright has more than 24 years of experience as a transformational leader in education. And on September 29th, he will be inducted as Monterey Peninsula College's 12th superintendent president. Coming up next, my conversation with Dr. Marshall Fulbright. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Fulbright. Thank you for joining me today. You are the new superintendent president of Monterey Peninsula College. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And your bio tells us that you are from Southern California. So can we start with you sharing your story about your background as an educator and how your career path guided you to MPC and the Monterey Peninsula?
Well, first of all, Mrs. Thomas, thank you for having me. I appreciate that question because far too often we focus on our arrival point and we sometimes forget about the paths that we take and also the people involved in those paths. So I am from Southern California. I am fourth generation from Pasadena, California, and came through public schools. So through Longfellow Elementary, Washington Middle School, John Muir High School, taking classes at Pasadena City College, I always knew I wanted to be in education. I loved music. So music was always a part of my life. It's a part of my family's life. And I did that and went that route. But I always knew that at some time, at some point in my career, I would be in education, a teacher. I loved it. I loved just being around others. Learners, other students, and I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. So I was fortunate enough coming from Northwest Pasadena to be able to go to Chapman University. And that was an enormous leap. I vividly remember not knowing what I wanted to do. And one of the most two influential people in my life, but one was my grandmother. And I remember going to her one afternoon and saying, is it okay if I major in music? And without a skip of a beat, she said, of course. And, you know, I had been taking all these music classes in high school, but at that time I was going to go into chemistry and I'd gone to a geospace academy and I was going to be a pharmacist. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And not realizing or not allowing myself to realize that was not my path. It was a path that I thought I should have been on. But when someone allowed me the opportunity to follow my own path, I didn't look back. So that was late in my senior year. When I say late, I want to say April or May. Mm-hmm. And I told my music teacher, and of course she was... I remember her reaction was like, well, duh. like this is what you've been doing.
Right.
You take every single music class we have. And her name is Jo Staup. Mm-hmm. And she took off of work and called the director at Chapman University, took off of work and drove me down from Pasadena to Orange, California, which is about an hour, to take me for an audition. And then sat there and spoke with him. And by the end of that day, I had a scholarship to go to Chapman University. Mm-hmm. That was life-changing for me.
Okay.
You know, it was life-changing for my family, my grandmother to say, you can do this. Life-changing to have a person outside to see value and talent in you and to put themselves out there to help you. Mm-hmm. Up until this day, I still talk about her, mm-hmm, and the influence she had on me as a human being. Both she and my grandmother. My grandmother, you know, Lola Griffin, mm-hmm. Granny G, everybody called her. Uh-huh. Even my friends thought, oh, Granny G. Yes, Granny G. That was that. I remember the apprehension, mm-hmm. you know, being uprooted. I remember getting the first bill from Chapman and going in my room and crying. How am I supposed to afford $24,000? Mm-hmm. You know, we were not wealthy. We were very low middle class, if that. Mm-hmm. I would tell you, upper poverty. Okay. Like, we still had bean, rice, cornbread, mm-hmm. you know, 3 days a week sometimes. Right. You know, I didn't want for much, but we were definitely not, I want something, so therefore you get it, and you have to work. Mm-hmm. But having that opportunity and then getting there with a duffel bag and a blanket, mm-hmm. like, that's how I moved into college.
Right.
I did not have, you know, the whole family there, mm-hmm. you know, moving me in, going to Target and buying you all this new stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't like that lamp. No, I had a duffel bag, a little boom box that was literally, you know, a small boom box that had one CD player on the top, uh-huh. and a blanket. And that's how I started off my career at Chapman.
Okay.
I mean, nothing else in my space. So from there, getting through working as a work study student, you know, I worked in a computer lab. I worked as a tutor. Mm-hmm. I was working on campus to make ends meet. But that shaped who I am now, to be in a space and to see all the haves and me wanting to be not just a part of that world, but to go, I have an opportunity here. I'm going to take advantage of this. Because I was not one of them. You could walk on campus and count the number of Black students on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew everybody. You know, there were like eight of us on the campus. Yeah. So I needed to make my way through there. After that, I immediately started teaching. So elementary school, high school, then went back and did my master's degree in music, orchestral conducting from University of California at Santa Barbara. And after that, I started in arts administration. So I did contracts, setting up stages, setting up, you know, arts production, mm-hmm. for Santa Barbara Symphony, Santa Barbara Chamber Orchestra, eventually the Pacific Symphony in Orange County. And I just knew that was not my calling. I could do it, but I just wasn't satisfied.
Right.
So this is a theme in my life of doing something and then realizing that this is not your calling, and to change and to not wait for things to happen, but to actually just make it happen. So I quit, and I knew that I needed to do that in order to take the training wheels off and to fly. Mm-hmm. And I got one job offer. It took me back east to Waterville, Maine, at Colby College, mm-hmm. to be a sabbatical replacement. I did that. And that then started to open the door to other positions. Mm-hmm. So that, once you come from a full-time position, even just for a short amount of time, people see you as, oh, this is a viable candidate.
Right.
So I got other offers, another back east and another at Long Beach City College. Mm-hmm. So being from Southern California, where there's sun and not snow, I came back to Southern California and was at Long Beach City College as a full-time music instructor. From there, was a department chair, and then moving to College of the Sequoias as a dean, and to the Riverside Community College District as a dean, and then to the Grossmont Cuyamaca District in San Diego as a vice president. Mm-hmm. All of that, all of my path influence how I see things. And I think that's what led me here to Monterey Peninsula College is I understand the struggle. Mm-hmm. I understand what it's like to be in a world of haves, mm-hmm. but you're really a have not.
Okay.
You know, how many, I can tell you at Chapman, there were two Black people in the orchestra. Mm-hmm. It was me and Noelle. And then she quit being a music major, I think our sophomore year.
We're all alone.
So it was me.
Okay.
You know, so I knew what it's like to be in that environment. It was a welcoming environment. Mm-hmm. You know, Monterey Peninsula College is a welcoming environment. And you also have to realize that our community, our students that come on here are very vulnerable. you're walking into this environment, it's still foreign to us. Mm-hmm. It's still different. So I do my best to make everyone feel welcome, regardless of who they are, where they come from. Some it's easier, mm-hmm. some it's more challenging.
Right.
But I think that's our role and our job is to make people feel welcome where we are. And that has been, you know, a theme of my career and trajectory from middle school, high school, up to where I am now, which is, you know, that's a span of almost 40 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's almost hard for me to say. It's been that long, but
it's just us talking.
It's just okay. We'll keep it between
me and you.
Everyone thinks I'm 30 anyway, so mm-hmm. let's just keep it that way, right. Just between us.
Okay. That's a wonderful story so far, and I actually have some familiarity with Chapman. My sister attended Chapman on a music scholarship. I think I introduced you to her several weeks ago,
yes.
But it's just a very strange combination that the two of mm-hmm. you would attend that school as music majors.
Yes.
But you both have a strong passion for music.
I remember that. And we even had some of the same instructors.
You did.
We did.
Yeah.
You know, she had them. I'd be happy to say that I had them at the end of their career.
right.
Yes.
No, but that's a wonderful story. But you are now here as the superintendent president of MPC. Can you take us through a day in the life? I know you've only been in the job a short period of time, but what's the day in the life of the superintendent president in MPC right now?
Wow, what a good question. Chaotic, mm-hmm. but not bad.
Okay.
So I think that's not the right word. It's varied. Mm-hmm. I usually take at least one time in the day to walk the campus. So sometimes twice.
Every day?
Every day. Mm-hmm. I have to get out of this space of my office and see what we're doing. See the faces of our students and mm-hmm. our faculty and our staff.
Right.
Because it re-energizes me. Because at the further and further away you get from students, the harder it is to make those connections sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes I'm signing things or making decisions about something that's going to happen, and I have no idea the ripple effect down way or see it happen.
Yeah.
So I usually get out. My typical day starts usually around, well, it starts first thing in the morning, so I'm usually on email when I shouldn't be, but I'm usually in the space, in the office or on campus by 7:15, 7:30. Mm-hmm. I focus a lot on going through emails or paperwork from the previous day. Because I can never get through it. Mm-hmm. So I typically tell my colleagues that if it comes through anytime in the afternoon, you should expect some sort of response by the next morning. Because there's too much to get to
right. And
to sift through. Mm-hmm. So my day usually consists of meetings. Again, my role, and I think any superintendent president or chancellor or any leader's role is, and this is challenging to say, it's not to do. What we should be doing is supporting others. Mm-hmm. So it's the weight on my shoulders. It's not necessarily always my own weight. Is I carry the weight of every single VP and dean and staff member and faculty member on the entire campus. So as a VP, it was quote unquote easier because I had the weight of the shoulder on my shoulders of this one section of folk. Now it's every single VP. So everyone's problem or challenge becomes my challenge. Mm-hmm. So when I'm meeting with people, I'm usually hearing them out and trying to figure out a policy or a larger solution. Mm-hmm. And that solution may be not the actual problem, but something two clicks up, what can I do to help support this member in a policy or a decision about something that then can turn into a decision that they make later? So a lot of my meetings are updates, and here's a challenge we're having, and then it's a brainstorming session between myself and someone else mm-hmm. or a group of people to figure out. Again, for me, it's not always that problem because I think my biggest, if I can call it this, a superpower is I hear or see an issue, and I don't always hear or see that issue. I see all of the things that have happened to lead to that.
That is a superpower, if you can do that.
Because many people will focus on, oh, I'm unable to do this. And my question usually is, okay, we're not able to do this. Why are we not able to do that? What are the things in place that are inhibiting you mm-hmm. from doing that? Mm-hmm. Because if we can work on those, then the task will be okay. I think it's very myopic and small to think about how to fix one person's problem. Mm-hmm. You have to teach, you know, give a man a fish, mm-hmm. he'll eat for a day.
Right.
You know, teach him how to fish. I'm much more of a bigger picture. Teach a person how to fish, teach a person how to analyze themselves. And that's my role. So that's a typical day for me is when some of my colleagues say, well, you don't teach anymore. You're not teaching. You're out. Right. I teach every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching. I just happen to not be teaching students in a classroom. I'm teaching colleagues. I'm learning from colleagues. I'm teaching them about my philosophies and about my views and the experience that I bring to certain issues and challenges. And when I bring those things up, they're usually like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's my opportunity to then teach them mm-hmm. about an alternative thought process or an alternative solution to a challenge that they're having that they may not even have thought of, or they had thought of but weren't sure how to do.
Right.
So my typical day consists of interacting with others, assisting them in being more efficient, or I don't like to use the term better because it's a judgment, but I want people to be better off by interaction that they have with me, mm-hmm. whatever that may be, however small or large. So most interactions, and it could be something simple. Mm-hmm. It could be simple, like earlier today, I helped, as I was walking, helped a student find the restroom. That's some knowledge that they didn't have mm-hmm. before interacting with me. And they would have either just walked around and found it. So they would have probably gained the knowledge. But to me, that's a philosophy of if I can help someone, however large or small, they will then be, you know, that person probably, you know, saved some time by not having to look, got to their class on time. Right. You know, I have no idea what the ripple effect was.
Right.
But all I quote unquote did was help them locate the nearest restroom.
Okay.
So we have hundreds and thousands of opportunities like that in a day. And my colleagues out on this campus will hear me say that we have hundreds and thousands of opportunities on a daily basis to help someone do better in achieving their academic or career or life goals. So I don't take those things for granted.
Okay. Tell us about Monterey Peninsula College. What new and exciting things are going on at MPC this year?
Wow. That's
just a few.
Just a few.
Just a few.
Just a few because uh-huh. there's, you know, do you want the shiny version or like the back office? You know, do you want the Disneyland or do you want the back version? Because for me, what I would say is a lot of what I get to do is talk about a lot of I get to work on a lot of the back operational things mm-hmm. that then turn into the shiny front.
How about one of each?
One of each.
Yeah.
So shiny front is, if you haven't been on the Monterey Peninsula campus in a year, 10 years, I suggest you come now if you want to feel nostalgic, because in 5-10 years, this place will not look the same.
A lot of change coming.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with the bond, which I'm extremely happy that the community mm-hmm. is really dedicated to this institution. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't take that for granted. So a lot of construction projects. Mm-hmm. This morning, I sat in on a meeting, one of my meetings mm-hmm. to talk about the new music building that's going to be coming online. So construction will start next summer. So we're thinking about what the footprint is going to be, the teardown. Mm-hmm. So it's the music building. It is the new welcome center. It'll be new and things that aren't like pretty, but new roofs, new, you know, air conditioning.
Which are important.
Which are important.
Yeah.
You know, the roofs are like, if I don't like to air our dirty laundry, but if you walk through the music building, because I'm a musician. So what do you think the first place I went to
look? You went to see the music building, right?
Externally, outside, there's a hole in the ceiling, in the roof. And for me, it's our teaching and in learning environments are supportive of what we, what students, I mean, that's their working conditions.
Yeah.
So that building coming down is, to me, it's going to be a challenge for us in the transition, but it's always that. But the new space is going to be so invigorating.
So, they're knocking it down completely?
Oh, or? It's going to be gone. There, it's like flat, leveled from the ground up. This is a rebuild. This is not a a remodel. So that's going to be gone. And we're starting there. Same thing with a welcome center. So those are the two new buildings that are, first two buildings that are going to be coming, starting construction very soon. So we're in the design phases of those. So looking at architectural schematics and, you know, again, the not fun stuff.
Right.
But all of that stuff is trying to keep us on budget, which is also a huge challenge with all of the supply chain. And, and I mean, some of the buildings have almost doubled in cost from what we originally thought. So that's going to be a challenge to keep things within our budget. But that's one of the pretty exterior things. Some of the back things are things like working with my colleagues to set up, to set up systems in place that ensure the college is more efficient. You know, so we have X number of employees that are doing a lot of work, but there's so many new systems that we have that we, or sorry, so many new systems that we don't have on campus that would help them do their work more efficiently. So that is one of the huge things is enterprise resource, our ERP. That's something that no one likes to hear about, but having all of our systems talk to each other is a big deal, because right now we're working on spreadsheets and humans connecting and entering in data multiple times. And imagine what will happen if when we have this new program, we're not going to be getting rid of people, but the people, existing people that we have, are going to be able to do more things. You know, so that's a behind the scenes thing that's going on with our IT, our financial aid, our human resources, our fiscal services, how we are doing those things, which, you know, I've asked for reports at times, and I rightfully get, you know, this will take me, you know, a day or two, because it'll take one of my colleagues 6 hours to do. These are reports at other institutions that you could go to a reports menu, click on it, and it would come out.
Instantly.
So just the sheer amount of time that we're paying someone to sit down to do 3 to 6 hours of work, that's 3 or 6 hours that they're not doing something else, which they could be doing. So that's not the pretty part about it. It's going to be a real challenge over the next 2 years to transition all of our systems. But that is something that when we are done, the capacity of our employees, the workload, the mental strain that's on some of them now will be relieved. You know, they'll enjoy being there, because when someone asks them for a report, they're not going to cringe a little bit. They're going to say, oh, okay, I could just click and it'll be done. So the environment, the workplace, the feel of the place will be different, because we'll have systems and mechanisms in place that will make our work, I don't like to use easier, because that's that seems lazy. It's not easier. It's just much more efficient and a better use of people's time.
I get it. Get it. Okay, let's change gears a little bit here.
Okay.
As a new resident of Central California, first of all, do you like it?
Absolutely.
What do you like about Central California now that you're here on our beautiful Monterey Peninsula?
Well, first of all, you said beautiful.
I did.
The beauty of this place. When I'm driving, sometimes I will stop and I sometimes will take up just a picture. you know, of the Bay and of the area, going, oh my God, I get to live here.
Right.
But just the beauty, the beauty physically. I mean, you can be in the trees, in the woods, in shade. You can be on the beach in the sun, sometimes in the sun, and sand. But these places are 10 minutes from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that opportunity to go to have that transition. The people's dedication and love of this space. You know, just the fact of having this bond. I haven't spoken to anyone that goes, oh God, I hate living here. Everyone loves living here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a space where people who live here love it, people who don't want to. And that's phenomenal. The amount of art, I notice things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a dedication to artists here, which I think is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love the fact that it's a dedication to artists, and there's a dedication to our working community members as well, our working families. I get to talk to my friends and family when I say I live. Right, currently I live out in East Garrison. You know, housing is a challenge of the whole peninsula.
Yes.
That's where I was able to find space. And I can walk out and a block down, I can see all the agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of the hardworking individuals who enable us to eat.
Yes.
And sustain us.
Yes.
And something like that does not go unnoticed by me, because I think of my own histories, my own family histories and culturally, and how my ancestors sustained our society,
right,
helped build this. So when I look at our agriculture workers, I think, my God, how, I'm sure they don't even realize the, you know, they're working, but do they realize how much they are sustaining the world around them? And more importantly, do the folks buying the food realize the workers and what they're doing to help sustain us? So I see that part of the spectrum with where I am, where I can look out and see produce being picked. And I see the other end of the spectrum where I see this beautiful artwork in a downtown area or in someone's window, you know, and that this is all within, you know, 10, 12 miles of each other, which is not common in other areas.
Right.
You don't have that.
Right.
You know, when you're in San Diego or Los Angeles, you have to drive an hour and a half to get out to where they're growing our foods, because they will take it out there and grow it and then ship it in.
Right.
But here you literally see it growing. And I love that about this area, the people, the beauty, the diversity in people here is amazing and unique.
Very, very unique. And I've had the luxury of being born and raised here on the Monterey Peninsula, but also living in Southern California for 30 years.
Mm.
So I know exactly what you speak of. And I think I read somewhere that you're also a sports fan, a Dodger fan. We won't hold that against you, but is that true?
someone recently, when I said that, said, wasn't that a part of the application process?
Did you disclose that, yeah, right?
Was that a part of the interview process?
Right.
And yes, I'm a huge Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a huge baseball fan.
Okay. All right.
So when we were in San Diego, I know, I constantly were
at the Padres games.
Mm-hmm. So I just love baseball.
Okay.
I walked today, even walking for this interview, I stopped by, I hear the sound of the bat and I want to be out there. So I've already been to an Oakland A's game.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to going to what's the other team up here? the Midgets, the Giants.
We're sliding down. You're sliding down a slippery slope here. Okay.
Let me pull myself back up.
Pull yourself back up right now.
The San Francisco Giants, who I'll be honest with you, there's a mutual respect there.
Mm-hmm.
They're huge Dodgers rivals. So if the Dodgers are in town, I will be rooting for the Dodgers. but I am very much willing to root for the home team because I respect them.
Well, you're better than I am because I lived in Southern California for 30 years and would go to Dodger Stadium wearing my Giants jersey.
Oh, you are
brave. I'm a diehard Giants fan. Yeah. Went to games at Candlestick Park, the old Candlestick Park, probably when I was in diapers.
Oh, my gosh.
My dad and mom were just huge baseball fans. So I'll be a Giants fan for life. We've had our rough years, as you know.
Yes.
As you know. But we're now, we've got all these World Series titles behind mm-hmm. us. So we can still be friends.
Okay. Yes, I would love to go to a game with you.
Okay.
I have about five Dodgers jerseys. Mm-hmm. So
I have a Barry Bonds jersey that I still wear.
The thing is, what's funny about that is that when I was in San Diego, everyone was a Padres fan. Mm-hmm. And I have a picture of maybe 10 or 15 people in their Padres jerseys and then one guy in the middle in my Dodger jersey.
Yeah.
So, and I always say, to me, that should be life.
It should be life.
It should be life.
It used to be like that, and then it got dangerous going to Dodger Stadium mm-hmm. in Giants gear. It used to be fun.
Yeah.
And so you'd have the rivalry, and then it got really scary
yeah.
with people getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. But when I say it should be life, my thing is I can believe in something, and you can believe in something, and that doesn't mean that you're a bad human being because
exactly.
we believe in something different.
Exactly.
You know, if people treated life like a baseball team,
yeah,
I think the world would be a better place because I don't think you're evil because you're a Giants fan. I hope you don't think I'm evil because I'm a Dodgers fan.
No.
I'm not evil.
You're not evil.
I can make better decisions in my life.
You're not evil. Okay.
I do. I equate things like that to a lot of things, to life. You know, we can have differences of mm-hmm. of religion. We have differences of political views. We
yes.
have differences of like I said, baseball teams. But when that starts to get into others being bad human beings,
yeah,
that's where I think our society as a whole is really hurting right yeah. now.
I totally agree with you on that. What advice can you give other individuals interested in following in your career footsteps?
Do something else.
It's too hard, right? It's too hard.
Yeah. No, what advice? Some of the best advice I received was always do your best no matter where you are or what you're doing. Never take things for granted. The other advice was stop trying to impress other people or don't do things because you are being looked at. Mm. People will notice you mm-hmm. if you're just doing the right thing. So the advice I would give for individuals is, one, follow your dream. You have to do that.
Yeah.
The other is do the best you can. Focus on whatever the goal is for that time period at that time. And do your best at it. You know, there were classes that I took that I vividly remember going, I never want to do this again, but right now I'm going to do the very best I can so that I can be done with it mm-hmm. and then move on. Mm-hmm. You know, there are those that I've seen that like, oh, I have to do X. Oh, I don't want to do Y. Oh, and it becomes a drag in their overall personality and their overall
yeah.
spirit.
Yeah.
You know, as professionals, we have to be able to do things that we may not like to do.
Right.
So to me, it's a training, it's a mindset. So, and that starts very young. It starts in elementary school and in younger kids. Like there are going to be things that you don't like to do,
yeah.
but you have to do it because of this reason. So for those that want to follow in my footsteps, I think it is do what you love, do it well. Stop worrying about what other people think about it, and others will notice it, and you will just be a better, happier person as you make your way through. I ended up where I am right now. I can honestly tell you, my challenges is, you know, and this is not a negative. This is politics. Mm-hmm. You know. I try and do what's right, regardless of who's in the room or where they are. I just think that's ethically Mm-hmm. Right. I try not to be a different human being in different spaces. That's too hard. Mm-hmm. It's just do the best you can with what you have at the time that you have it with the knowledge that you have. That takes me always back to, I believe it was Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. It was, do the best job that you know how to do. Mm-hmm. And then when you learn different, learn better, do better.
Do better. Yes.
So do the best you can right now. Mm-hmm. And then the more you learn, do better.
Right.
And always do that. All that consistently will move you forward and move you up. It may not be fast, but eventually you will get there. Mm-hmm. You will get there. Mm-hmm. Baseball, and enough base hits is going to score a run.
Right.
You don't have to always hit a home run to get there, but you also can't do it just by bunting.
Right.
You have to get out there, hit the ball, swing, base hit, base hit, base hit. Mm-hmm. Someone's then going to score.
Right.
So as long as you're doing that consistently, mm-hmm. you will eventually score. Whatever that score is for you, whatever your journey is, mm-hmm. that whatever that score is, you'll get there.
I love
Just have the patience.
I love that. Well, I'm not sure if you have any free time, but other than baseball, what do you do in your free time? You probably don't have any now, but
funny thing is, I do have some free time.
Good.
But that free time sometimes gets marred in my mind with things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Like that, I could be working 24
hours a day.
24 hours a day.
Right.
I choose not to, and it's not because I don't like to do it. It's because we have to take some time to let our minds rest. So that's my challenge, mm-hmm. is letting my mind rest. So for right now, my free time, I have decided about maybe a month ago, I was going to binge watch again Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So I've been, getting home and cooking, eating, spending some time down, and then watching like two episodes mm-hmm. of the Game of Thrones just to kind of get me into somewhere, another space. Mm-hmm. And as I'm getting further in there, I'm like, maybe I should have picked another series that didn't have every king or getting murdered.
Getting murdered, exactly.
Maybe I should have picked something more, more light mm-hmm. and fluffy. Mm-hmm. But I like the series when it first came out. I love it now again, going around and the things that you see from a different perspective. Like, oh my God, I never noticed that. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of excites me now. And that's why I do a lot of my free time. Now.
Okay.
Before that, I played a lot of softball.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. I'm sure there's some league up here that you eventually get involved with.
I have looked.
Yeah.
But I have also made the strategic decision to just not do that right now.
Not right now.
Mm-hmm. Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
In the future.
What personal goals do you have to achieve as president this year? Just a few of them for MPC mm-hmm. as president.
So for MPC or my own personal goals?
For MPC.
For MPC.
Yes.
I want MPC. Wow. As we are bringing back physically on campus more and more students, mm-hmm. I want the space to be, again, I don't know what it was like before, but I want it to be different, engaging, and an exciting space to be. And that's a challenge as we're moving back in out of this pandemic because, mm-hmm. People are used to being separated. They're used to being in Zoom. They're not used to being around so many people. We've all had to get readjusted to being in the same room with other individuals. And on the other hand, we know that those human connections are important. In the education system, and in education, the brainstorming and bouncing off of ideas with another person, can that happen via Zoom? Yes, it can happen. But it's more likely to be engaging and happen more frequently on campus and in the space. So a goal of mine for MPC is to fully reopen, to fully engage, to have clubs and activities on campus. Even the student that is taking online classes, I would love for them to come onto the campus and take their online class. They'll engage with the resources. I think that's important for them. So my goal, again, is when we are done with this year, I want all of our students to go, God, that was a great experience I had at MPC. Not just, I learned a lot, because that's important. But the experience that people have is incredibly important. To this day, I can equate things that I learned with the experiences that I had when learning them. Right. And you don't always get that in front of a computer screen.
Sure.
Again, I want to be clear, that doesn't mean it can't happen.
Right.
But I would much rather have people on campus here, engaged with each other, with our faculty, with our wonderful staff. Like, we have a whole team of hundreds of people here on campus ready and waiting to help support students. And just walking into an office and getting that smile or hello, mm-hmm. it means a lot, and it'll go a long way.
Okay. That's all of the questions that I have for you. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell my listeners today?
Anything else I would like to tell your listeners? Wow. What I would like people to know about my philosophy and about Monterey Peninsula College and my time here in the future is really going to be focused on things like things that words that you don't always associate with a college. Things like love, compassion, mm-hmm. Caring for others. Routinely, I have, in my time here, and it's just been 2 months, my third month, I can promise you there'll be people on campus who will say, I have spoken about, you don't teach a subject. You teach people about a subject. Mm-hmm. So when I say I taught music, I never taught music. Mm-hmm. I taught Yvonne or these students about music. Mm-hmm. That's where I want everyone in the community to understand that that's where I am pushing for the institution to be supportive of human beings, to be holistic in how we see students, and for students to come out with, you know, a degree or be trained in the workforce, but we're not training future surgeons. We're training people to be future surgeons. A surgeon is just an occupation.
Right.
That is not a human being. It's the person in that role. So this space, when people come here, I want people to know that they will be supported. On the people to know that if they send their son, daughter, or see their wife, husband, partner off, that they're going to be seen and that they're going to be taken care of as human beings and not just an ID number or cramming knowledge or information down them. But that's my goal. Yeah. That's a big goal.
It is a huge goal.
And it's not just MPC, it's a societal. You know, how do we change society to see people as human beings and not just what they are doing, what they've done, what they could do, but to see a human being in them and a humanity in individuals?
Yeah.
I think that's a core of, again, part of some of our societal challenges is we always don't see the humanity in others. My hope is that we continue to do that here at MPC and just rev it up a lot more.
Wonderful goal. And I hope that I can circle back around with you in a year and see.
Okay.
See where we are.
Get on my calendar now.
I will get on your calendar now. But thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule today. This was wonderful, and I think it'll give people in our community a better insight into you and what's going forward with MPC.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And a very special thank you once again to Dr. Marshall Fulbright for being my guest today. This podcast releases on Fridays with 30 to 60 minute episodes featuring interviews with special guests, commentary, and my personal take on current events happening in this outrageous world we live in. We hope you'll listen in on our next episode coming soon. CCC with YT Podcast is executive produced by Yvonne Thomas. Theme music by Shayla, the artist.